Well, hey everybody, I'm Adam Schell, the pastor at Melbourne Heights, and welcome to our sermon podcast. And I just want to start out by thanking you for spending part of your day with us. And if you're blessed during our time together today, let me invite you to come and worship with us live on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. You can worship with us live on our church website at mhbclouisville.com/live. Or if you're in the Louisville, Kentucky area, we would love to have you come and join us in person. But with that, let's get right into this episode's sermon.
Palm branches were waving, and people were singing and shouting, because they'd been waiting a long time for this moment to arrive. For years, the people of Israel had been calling out, crying out, "Hosanna, Hosanna to God," which is an ancient Hebrew prayer, begging and pleading with God to save us now. But now it appeared their prayers had finally been answered. So palm branches were waving and people were singing and they were shouting because they'd been waiting a long time for this moment to arrive. And now they were marching through the streets of Jerusalem, celebrating the arrival of the Grand Marshal of their parade. But this man was more than just the Grand Marshal of this parade. He was more than just a simple celebrity. He was more than just the leader of the pack. This man was their king. He was their high priest. He was the one sent by God to save them. And that's exactly what this man intended to do. He intended to save the people of Israel. He intended to save them from the oppression that they were experiencing under an outside tyrant. He intended to save them from their unjust captivity under a foreign power. He intended to save them from the corrupt religious leaders who had risen to power and now controlled the temple. And he didn't intend to waste any time getting started. So as he marched through the streets of Jerusalem with a crowd waving palm branches and singing and shouting around him, he headed straight for the temple in Jerusalem. Because every time that he looked at the temple, he couldn't help but see the corruption, the desecration, the wickedness that was happening inside of his father's house. And he was sick and tired of seeing money changers and animal vendors preying on people, taking advantage of people in what was meant to be a house of prayer. So he went straight for the temple, intending to clean it out, to clear it out, and to run out anyone who stood in his way. And that's why the people were waving palm branches, and they were singing, and they were shouting. They were doing this because they were celebrating the arrival of this man that they believed was their Savior. Now, since today is Palm Sunday, the day historically when we remember Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, you may believe that I just spent the first couple of minutes of the sermon recalling that story of Jesus entering into Jerusalem at the beginning of Holy Week. But the story that I just told you wasn't ripped from the pages of the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. The story that I just told you actually comes from another book altogether. And this particular book was written about 170 years or so before Jesus ever entered into the city of Jerusalem. Because the story that I just told you is about a man named Simon Maccabee. But who exactly was Simon Maccabee? Well, Simon Maccabee was part of a group that helped save the people of Israel from the rule of Antiochus Epiphanes in the Seleucid Empire. Now, unless you're extremely familiar with your ancient history, that probably leaves you wondering, who was Antiochus Epiphanes and what was the Seleucid Empire? Well, let's see if we can figure that out a little bit more. We'll start by talking about the Seleucid Empire. And this is a huge oversimplification for you, but the Seleucid Empire was the empire that controlled Israel about 170 years before Jesus was born. And that brings us to Antiochus Epiphanes. Who was Antiochus? Well, he was the Seleucid king who had taken control of Jerusalem about 170 years before Jesus was ever born. But as Antiochus rose to power in the Seleucid Empire, he had one main goal. What Antiochus wanted to do is that he wanted to bring everyone in his empire together as one united people. So Antiochus outlawed any practice that he thought was going to be divisive, anything that might drive his people apart. And that included practicing any religion other than the religion that Antiochus practiced. And Antiochus Epiphanes, he wasn't Jewish. So when Antiochus and the Seleucid Empire took control of Jerusalem and Israel, he outlawed Judaism. And he didn't stop there. Not only did he outlaw Judaism, he also took control of the temple in Jerusalem, and he dedicated it to the worship of his god, the god Zeus. And as you can probably imagine, that didn't go over real well with the people of Israel. And that brings us back to Simon Maccabee. Because after Antiochus Epiphanes came in and took control of Israel, after he dedicated the temple to the god Zeus, after he outlawed the practice of Judaism altogether, Simon Maccabee and his brothers started a revolt, a revolution against Antiochus and his armies. And although most of the rebellions in Israel's history saw the rebel alliances ending up like the rebel alliance does at the end of The Empire Strikes Back, Simon Maccabee's revolution that he led saw the rebel alliance ending up more like the rebel alliance does at the end of the movie The Return of the Jedi. And if you don't speak Star Wars, what that means is that Simon Maccabee's revolution actually won. Simon Maccabee and the people of Israel drove out Antiochus Epiphanes. They defeated his generals. They destroyed his armies. They took back control of their country, of their capital, of their temple. And that's why the people were celebrating. That's why, in the story, people were waving palm branches and singing and shouting. They were celebrating Simon Maccabee's arrival in the city of Jerusalem after his successful rebellion, after he drove out Antiochus, after he took back control of their country, their capital, and their temple again. But the story of Simon Maccabee's triumphal entry into Jerusalem does sound a whole lot like the story of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, doesn't it? Now, let's take a look at the story together, and I'll show you exactly what I mean. If you've got a Bible close by or a Bible app on your phone, go ahead and grab it and open it to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, and as you're finding it, I'll just point out to you, the book of Mark is basically a biography of Jesus. So as you're reading the book of Mark, you're going to be able to read about Jesus' ministry and the miracles that he performed. You're going to be able to read about Jesus' crucifixion, and you could read about Jesus' resurrection. And in Mark chapter 11, we find the story of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem at the beginning of Holy Week. So let's take a look at Mark 11 together. We're going to start reading in verse 1. Here's what Mark writes. It says, when Jesus and his followers approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. Jesus gave two disciples a task, saying to them, go into the village over there. As soon as you enter it, you will find tied up there a colt that no one has ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, its master needs it, and he will send it back right away. They went and they found a colt tied to a gate outside on the street, and they untied it. Some people standing around said to them, what are you doing untying the colt? They told them just what Jesus had said, and they left them alone. They brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes upon it, and he sat on it. Many people spread out their clothes on the road while others spread branches cut from the fields. Those in front of him and those following were shouting, Hosanna! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessings on the coming of the kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest. So Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. After he looked around at everything, because it was already late in the evening, he returned to Bethany with 12. So the story of Jesus' triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem sounds a whole lot like the story of Simon Maccabee's triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem after Simon helped defeat Antiochus Epiphanes. And you know what? These stories are supposed to sound alike. Just like the story of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem is also supposed to sound like the story of King Solomon riding through the streets of Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, when Solomon was coronated king of Israel. And the story of Jesus' triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem is also supposed to sound a lot like the story of another time in Israel's history where people pulled off their coats and their cloaks and they laid them on the steps of the temple when Jehu was proclaimed Israel's king. And these stories are supposed to sound alike for a reason. The story of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem is supposed to sound like Simon Maccabee's entry and what happened when Solomon was coronated and what happened when Jehu was proclaimed king, because this story, the story of Jesus' triumphal entry, is meant to show us that Jesus is the King of Kings. The story is meant to show us that Jesus is the King of Kings. But that's not the only thing that this story is meant to show us. Because not only is this story meant to show us that Jesus is the King of Kings, this story is also meant to remind us of who the people in the crowd that day that were waving palm branches and singing and shouting expected their king to be. They expected their king to be like Simon Maccabee. They expected their king to be like Solomon. They expected their king to be like Jehu. They expected that their king was going to be the kind of king that brought an end to their oppression under an outside tyrant. They expected that their king was going to be the kind of king who brought an end to their unjust captivity under a foreign empire. They expected their king was going to be the kind of king that would bring an end to the corruption that was happening inside of the temple and restore God's holy and sacred place again. And they sang and they celebrated and they waved palm branches that day because that's exactly who they expected Jesus to be. But just 5 days later, 5 days after welcoming Jesus on Palm Sunday, we're going to see a completely different scene play out. Just 5 days after Palm Sunday, we arrive at Good Friday. And the scene takes a dramatic shift. We see this scene unfold in Mark chapter 15, if you want to follow along there. This is what Mark tells us, starting in verse 1. Mark writes, "At daybreak, the chief priests with the elders, the legal experts, the whole Sanhedrin formed a plan. They bound Jesus, led him away, turned him over to Pilate. Pilate questioned him, 'Are you the King of the Jews?' Jesus replied, 'That's what you say.' The chief priests were accusing him of many things. Pilate asked him again, 'Aren't you going to answer? What about all these accusations?' But Jesus gave no more answers, so that Pilate marveled. During the festival, Pilate released one prisoner to them, whomever they requested. A man named Barabbas was locked up with rebels who had committed murder during an uprising. The crowd pushed forward and asked Pilate to release someone as he regularly did. And Pilate answered them, 'Do you want me to release you to you, the King of the Jews?' Because he knew that the chief priests had handed Jesus over because of their jealousy. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas to them instead. And Pilate replied, 'Then what do you want me to do with the one you call King of the Jews?' They shouted back, 'Crucify him.' Pilate said to them, 'Why? What wrong has he done?'" What on earth? What on earth could have happened over 5 days' time to make a crowd that was singing hosannas on Palm Sunday to cry out, "Crucify him," on Good Friday? What could have happened in 5 days that caused these palm branches that were waving to be replaced by a crown of thorns? What could have happened over 5 days to cause this crowd who on Palm Sunday greeted Jesus like a conquering king to treat him like a common criminal on Good Friday. What could have happened over the course of 5 days that caused these people who were willing to lay down their coats and their cloaks on the road before Jesus on Palm Sunday to demand that Jesus lay down his life for them on Good Friday? Well, the sad and the harsh answer to that question is that over the course of those 5 days that Jesus spent in Jerusalem teaching in the temples, the people came to realize that Jesus wasn't the king they expected. Jesus wasn't the king they expected. You see, they thought that Jesus was going to be the kind of king that would run Rome out of Jerusalem for good. But during Holy Week, the only people that Jesus ran out of Jerusalem were the animal vendors and the money changers that he ran out of the temple because of the way that they were mistreating people. And the folks in the crowd, they thought that Jesus was going to be the kind of king who stood up against Rome and all of their tyranny. But during Holy Week, when Jesus was asked about paying taxes, he told the people to give to Caesar what is Caesar's. The people expected that Jesus was going to be the kind of king that would lead them into a rebellion, the kind of king that would ask them and challenge them to lay down their lives for the kingdom of Israel. But during Holy Week, Jesus challenged them to give their all for the kingdom of God. So the Savior became a scapegoat. The one who had been treated like a conquering king found himself treated like a common criminal. The one who had come to save everyone in that crowd was sentenced to death by them. And it's because they did not understand who Jesus is. You know, over the last few weeks, as we've journeyed together through the season of Lent, we've spent a lot of time talking about what this season is all about. And Lent is supposed to be a time where we reflect on who we are and we think about who God wants us to become. And in passages like Romans 8:29, we're reminded that ultimately God wants us to become more like his Son, Jesus. So Lent is supposed to be a time where we commit ourselves to becoming more like Jesus. But you know what? A lot of the time, we don't really want to be more like Jesus. Instead, we want Jesus to be more like us. A lot of the time, we don't really want to become more like Jesus. What we want is for Jesus to become more like us. And that's what happened to that crowd between Palm Sunday and Good Friday. That crowd wanted Jesus to be just like them. They wanted Jesus to want the same things that they wanted. They wanted Jesus to come to bring privilege and priorities and perspective that they had never experienced before. They wanted Jesus to bring blessings into their life, but instead, what does Jesus do? Jesus comes and he's talking about suffering and sacrifice and serving. And because they didn't hear the things that they wanted, where they were going to be privileged people who got to experience priorities in the kingdom of God, they turned their back on Jesus all together. Just about the entire crowd, over the course of a week, decided to walk away from Jesus. But that's not the case for everyone that was part of that crowd. There's at least one person in the crowd who seemed to get things right. This man's name just happened to be Simon, too. And this is what Luke tells us about this Simon. In Luke chapter 23, verse 26, we read, as they led Jesus away, they grabbed Simon, a man from Cyrene, who was coming in from the countryside. They put the cross on his back and made him carry it behind Jesus. Now, the truth of the matter is that we don't know a great deal about this man that we call Simon of Cyrene. The truth of the matter is we know three things about him for sure. The first thing that we know about Simon of Cyrene is that according to the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Simon is pulled from the crowd and he is asked or forced to carry Jesus' cross as Jesus makes his way to Golgotha. But just that information alone, that first thing we know about Simon, already tells us something about Simon that makes him different from everyone else in the crowd. Because everyone else that had been in that crowd on Palm Sunday and Good Friday, when Jesus was talking about suffering and service and sacrifice, they turned away. But when Simon was called on to carry Jesus' cross, it's exactly what he did. He set himself aside. He took up the cross, and he followed Jesus. Jesus calls us all to do. The second thing that we know about Simon is that he is from a place called Cyrene. Why does that matter? Well, something that we need to remember whenever we're reading the Bible and we come across the name of a city, of a town, of a region, is that the name of that place would have meant something to the very first people who heard it. So it's kind of like if you heard somebody say New York, you might think about the Empire State Building. Or if you heard somebody mention Nashville, you might think about country music. Or if you hear somebody talking about Bowling Green, you might think about Corvettes. The names of places mean things to us. It was the same way back in Jesus' time. And the thing that most people would have been aware of, what they would have thought of as soon as they heard the name of the town Cyrene, is the rich, fertile soil that this place was famous for having. Cyrene had rich and fertile soil that allowed them to grow everything from grains to olives to dates to figs and just all the produce that you could imagine. Amazing fruit came out of the area of Cyrene. But why does that matter to us? Well, if you pay attention to the way that Jesus talks, what he teaches during his time on this earth, Jesus spends a whole lot of time talking about producing fruit. In places like Matthew chapter 7, verse 17, Jesus tells us that every good tree produces good fruit, and every rotten tree produces bad fruit. And in Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 44, Jesus says, a good tree doesn't produce bad fruit, nor does a bad tree produce good fruit. Each tree is known by its own fruit. So by telling us that Simon is from Cyrene, this place that is known for having this rich and fertile soil, Luke wants us to realize that Simon's soul is the same way. Simon has a soul that is rich and fertile, and that he is going to produce great fruit for the kingdom of God. And that leads us to the third thing that we know about Simon. The third thing that we know about Simon is that he has two sons. One's named Alexander, the other is named Rufus. And these two people were well enough known to the folks that Luke was writing his gospel to that he decided to name drop them inside of this book. And that leads us to believe that Simon was so transformed by his experience of carrying Jesus' cross that Simon not only decided to follow Jesus himself, but he led his sons to believe in Jesus as well. So they became an important part of the faith community that Luke was writing to. So out of all of the people that were in the crowds on Palm Sunday and Good Friday, Simon is just one of the few that seems to really understand who Jesus is. And because Simon understands who Jesus is, in this story, and beyond this story, Simon becomes more like Jesus. The question that all of us need to be asking ourselves this week, as we enter into Holy Week, standing between Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and Easter morning, is are you more like Simon of Cyrene? Are you more like the rest of the crowd? Do you keep hoping? Do you keep hoping that Jesus is going to become more like you? And that Jesus is going to want the same things that you want in life? Power, prestige, privilege. Or do you really want to become more like Jesus and do the things that Jesus calls you to do, even if that means you'll suffer, even if that means you'll have to sacrifice, even if that means you'll have to serve others. Who are you really like? Are you like the crowds that turn their backs on Jesus because he's not who you expect him to be? Are you like Simon, who's willing to follow Jesus wherever that road may lead? Let's pray together. God, as we come to you in prayer this morning, you know that we find ourselves at the beginning of another Holy Week. You know, over the course of the next few days, we're going to spend time reflecting on what happens on Good Friday and Easter Sunday. God, before we jump ahead in the story, let us live in this moment on Palm Sunday. Let us be reminded of the story of Jesus' warm welcome that he received when he entered into the city of Jerusalem. Help us to think about those people that were in the crowds, waving palm branches, singing and shouting out Hosannas to you. The crowd that was willing to take off their coats and lay them on the ground before Jesus. God, also help us to realize that this crowd that welcomed Jesus like a conquering king turned their backs on Jesus when they realized that he wasn't coming to conquer Rome. Help us spend time this week thinking about who Jesus really is and what Jesus calls us to do so that we can truly become more like him. We pray this in his name. Amen.
Well, hey, it's Adam again, and I just want to thank you for tuning in to this episode of our sermon podcast, and I hope that you've been blessed during our time together. And if that's happened, once again, I want to invite you to come and worship with us live on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. You can do that by joining us on our church website at mhbclouisville.com/live, or if you're in the Louisville, Kentucky area, you can also worship with us in person. And that's going to do it for this episode of our sermon podcast, but I want to invite you to come back and join us again when our next episode drops next week. But until then, I'll be praying for you. I hope that you have a great week, and we'll see you back here soon for another Sermon Podcast.